following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. I'm DJ Lachey, and you are listening to Beyond the Obstacle, a podcast where we discuss what it takes to become an elite athlete.
Welcome to episode 7 of Beyond the Obstacle. Today I have another special guest. This guest has a lot of titles. 11-time American Ninja Warrior competitor, Sasuke World Cup Stage 4 athlete, college gymnast, licensed pilot, licensed skydiver, and also a really good friend and mentor of mine. This is Sean Bryan, also known as the Papal Ninja. Sean, how do you find time to do all of this cool stuff?
Well, I don't find time to do it all at the same time, but just time management. It's something that I learned over time, I guess you could say. Happened in college when I was a college gymnast, and I had to balance that with being at UC Berkeley with a physics curriculum. And basically, you just have to know your priorities and put those first, and eventually you could squeeze things in. But usually recreation is the first thing to go. So I mixed in recreation with my passions for the things that I do for work. So it kind of balances out.
How did you make that switch from gymnastics to Ninja Warrior?
It wasn't a direct switch between gymnastics and Ninja Warrior. I actually took an 8-year break while I was in seminary down in Los Angeles. So I went from Berkeley down to LA, and then I came back up after 4 years to finish my master's degree in theology. And then I just thought I need to get back into this sort of thing. I was always doing other sports with the kids because I did youth ministry in between. And I was doing like volleyball, basketball, but it just wasn't really scratching that itch of being like super athletic, throwing my body around, doing fun things. So I saw on TV that American Ninja Warrior was on, and I had an ex-teammate who ended up not doing so well on the show, but it inspired me to want to try. And I looked it up, and there was a Ninja Warrior gym within 30 minutes, which I thought was quite providential at the time, because there was only a couple of ninja gyms in the whole country. So to be 30 minutes away from one, I thought, this has to be a godsend. I'm going to go check it out. So I checked it out. The community was amazing. They supported me in my application, and the rest is history.
Yeah, and now you're like considered by the ninja community to be one of the most legendary Ninja Warrior athletes. You've been on American Ninja Warrior a bunch of times, had a lot of really good performances, including coming in third, right, in season 9? Is that correct?
Yeah, I guess you could say tied for first in season 10, and got third-ish. It's kind of tied for third in a season, actually tied for second-ish, because they don't really give places at that point in season 9. Yeah, 9 was my breakout season. I got third-ish, and then 10, I got second-ish, I guess you could say.
Yeah, so at this point, Sean is definitely considered like a legend of the ninja community. Everyone knows who he is. And you've been on all these seasons of American Ninja Warrior. You've done gymnastics and all this other cool stuff. What would you say your greatest athletic achievement is to this point?
I have a hard time picking favorites and greatest moments and things like that. I guess you could say the one I'm most proud of is my breakout season, because it brought me from actually, even though I had some success as a gymnast, it felt like that was my real coming out moment as an athlete was on Ninja, because it was a critical moment where not many people were able to complete a particular obstacle on stage 2, and it just clicked for me, and that was probably one of my proudest moments, to be able to be the first to break through that and open the door for other people to do it too by showing them the beta and showing them that it's possible.
So that was Wingnut Alley, I believe. You were the first person to clear that obstacle?
Indeed, yeah. I was the first one to get through that. And I guess in subsequent season, I don't really remember the rest of it. But yeah, that was the first time I got through that obstacle. And then also, yes, I was the first to get through the water walls the following year.
Wow. So with Sean's very high level performance and obviously diverse skill set, I think that makes him a perfect guest for this podcast. So I think that's a good way to transition into the main question of the podcast, which is, how do you become an elite athlete? So I'm going to leave this pretty open-ended for you, like I do have the rest of my guests. I want you to take this in any direction you want. How does someone become an elite athlete?
Number one, to become an elite athlete, you have to have the passion for it, and you have to put time and dedication into it. That doesn't guarantee that you'll be one, but it'll at least bring you close. The more time and passion and energy you spend into it, the more you, in a way, obsess over it, obsess over the technique, obsess over the training, and really just put your whole heart into it, and make it your number one priority. Obviously, there's other number one priorities that are probably more important, like family and job and making and like surviving. But at the same time, number one, I guess, passion, I guess you could say, would be the first way to go about it. I could go on with that. I just don't know if that's all you're looking for.
No, I think that's an amazing answer. That's something we really haven't talked about much on the podcast, which is passion. I think that's such a big thing. And I know for me with my Ninja Warrior journey, I would not at all be where I am right now without the passion I have for the sport. And yeah, I think that's a really cool answer. Have you ever seen like a high level athlete that isn't passionate about what they do? Or do you think that the two just like always go hand in hand?
I've seen a lot of not passionate, very talented gymnasts in my career as a gymnast, and they're the ones who kind of don't really quite do the best and aren't the most consistent, but they could be very impressive nonetheless. But the passionate ones are the ones that really shine. And one side note about passion that I like to bring up when I talk about it is that just the etymology of it means to suffer. So when you're passionate about something, you're going to suffer through things. You're going to have the heart to get through it. So it's not just the rainbows and unicorns being a lovey-dovey kind of thing. When you have passion for something, you put your whole self into it and you suffer. And this suffering creates a hardness to get through the difficult times, but it also creates a journey path, because it's not really about the end goal of conquering and being that athlete. It's about the whole process, because that's just how our brains even work. You have these like dopamine releases in every single mini goal that you have to get to achieve the major goal. But oftentimes studies have shown that once you do achieve that major goal and you don't really have anything else to do, you kind of just lose that passion. So if we set ourselves up to have this goal of being this elite athlete or this athlete that achieves one particular goal, then we're going, even if we achieve that goal, we're going to be left empty. So it really is more about the journey. What friends are you bringing along with you? What people can you compete with? So compete, the etymology of that is to strive with. It's not competing against, it's to strive with. So you have people that you train with, you have, I guess you could say competitors, but everyone's helping you along that same journey to reach those goals. So just have to be careful that to not make the goal the end, make the journey itself the real points of engagement and the real things that give you meaning and the community around it.
It's really interesting that this actually ended up being a pretty similar answer to the answer that Talon gave in the episode I did with him, where we kind of came to the end conclusion that a big thing about being an elite athlete is enjoying the process. And I think it's interesting that you ended up with a kind of similar answer to that, with especially the fact that he's 18 years old and you're over twice his age, 40 years old. How do you stay such an elite athlete? Because you really are, especially like last couple seasons of American Ninja Warrior, you've stayed at a very high level competing with people half your age. How have you stayed an elite athlete at the age of 40? And what advice would you give to athletes that are older in their sport that are trying to stay at that level?
I think I stumbled upon the secret on accident, is that have great training partners and have a reason to come into the gym, because it's very easy to lose that passion and to forget why you're doing what you're doing, especially as I got older. There's a lot of the people that I first started training with who kind of went their own way. They had family, they had kids, they had new jobs, they left. And it was the people who weren't quite at my level to train with earlier on, who are now really pushing me. So you got to find your competitors, find the people that you want to journey with, and that'll keep you young, that'll keep you focused, that'll keep pushing back the goal of your that sets your motivation.
And I want to add on to that, because Sean's really humble, but I think one thing that really sets Sean apart is that he's one of the best competitors in the whole world of ninja mentally. There's not many people that compete better. Like on the day of a competition, he always steps up and is at like his top performance when he competes, especially at the biggest stages like American Ninja Warrior. So how do you compete so well mentally?
I think part of it is gift, that I'm able to block out the things that are perhaps distracting. But part of it is the training, where when I train to focus on blocking out the distractions. And part of it is just my dedication to prayer, is that that's given me a certain discipline that gives me the confidence to forget about the things that might make me judge myself or doubt myself or just anything that'll get in the way. I just ask that the Lord remove that from me. And when I'm confident in that, it doesn't get in the way. So I don't worry about the end goal, because I'm really enjoying the process. And that also helps, is that I don't get the anxiety of like putting my whole identity around being the best. I put my whole identity around competing and just doing what my passion tells me to do. As long as the passion is good. We're very divided with our passions, I guess you could say. So I think that but on the more practical side of things, I would say coming up with some sort of routine, perhaps at the beginning of the starting line, but besides that, routine in practice, where you set up situations that you might come across in the future. So nothing's going to surprise you. Things that force you to change your technique in the middle of a swing, things that force you to get cold, and because you don't know if that's going to happen in a real competition. You're about to go and say, nope, I'm not going to go. I'm going to sit down for 20 minutes and then I'm going to go. That happens all the time on the show. So if you could somehow plan for the things that are unplannable, that gives you an edge as well.
Yeah, and one thing that you said in there that I think is pretty important to highlight that I don't see a lot of other ninjas do is there's so many ninjas that will come to the gym and be like, I'm going to run this course this many times, I'm going to push my body. But this is something that I notice in your training, is you will take every run really intentionally and seriously to focus on that mindset. And so even if you're doing sometimes less runs than other ninjas that are training, you're training your mind as opposed to just training your body.
Yeah, it's certainly about being familiar with the situation. So you might not be familiar with how is this obstacle going to respond, but you're familiar with responding to obstacles that you don't know how it's going to respond. So you get this confidence in that. But one major caveat to that is that overconfidence also gets in the way. So there's been all sorts of studies to show how overconfidence is kind of the way that most people engage life. It has its benefits, but you get leaders from that and things like that. But it doesn't really help in competing. You really need true humility when you're competing. And by that, I mean right estimation of self and right estimation of abilities. And you get that through practice and practice. And if you could, again, somehow plan for the things that might actually happen, that you and just prepare in every way you can during your training, probably have a better mental space, and you'll probably be able to get more into a flow state and react to what you see.
Yeah, I love that answer. And that's stuff that you've definitely helped me with a lot throughout my Ninja Warrior journey. And I think it's also stuff that really translates to like any sport with the mental side of it. We only have a few minutes left, so I want to get into the last section of today's podcast, which is the Q&A section. I'm going to just give you a couple random questions that I think will be interesting to hear your thoughts on. Starting with, how did being a former high-level gymnast affect your Ninja Warrior journey?
I think number one, it gave me the discipline, and number two, it gave me the value of teamwork. In the collegiate men's gymnastics, it's really about the team. It's really not about the individual. So you start to put an emphasis on the training aspect. So I think that's the number one thing. And number two would be pushing through pain, not to the point of pushing through injuries, but I grew a stronger pain tolerance because of that. And I wouldn't stop just because I got a rip, and just the little things wouldn't bug me. And I think those are the main things that I took away. But also the fact that I developed a really explosive power from gymnastics, especially training rings, is a huge benefit, because I was able to keep that power and keep the dedication to strength training as well.
All right, let's do one more question. So you're now 40 years old, still competing at a really high level. What are some of your athletic goals looking forward? It could be short term or like longer term down the line, because I really hope to see you being an athlete for as long as you possibly can.
Specifically, athletic goals right now, I still want to continue competing. So if the show has me on again, I'm going to do that again. I really would like to get the mega wall. I've failed that 7 times now, I think. And I really never trained specifically for that because it seemed like it's just too hard to get. The first couple of times I missed, it was probably because it was new. And then after that, I started training it and they changed the rules so that you have to not only be explosive when you're fresh, but explosive when you're spent and you just ran really fast. And I didn't really train for that either. And the last couple of years, I was really just focused on getting as far as fast as I can and not really on the mega wall. And I don't really think I have much to lose. So that would be one thing. Another thing is I'd like to do a couple of international competitions and see where that takes me.
Awesome. Yeah. And I love that you're still motivated. You're still competing and have dreams, even though you've been an athlete like your whole life. That's just really inspiring, honestly, especially to myself, who's half your age and would love to be in the position you are athletically when I'm twice the age that I am right now. We're going to wrap things up. Do you want to shout out your social medias, Sean?
Sure. Yeah. Look up Papal Ninja, PAPALNINJA, Papal Ninja, usually Instagram, sometimes Facebook, tiny, tiny bit on Twitter, but not really. And don't look at TikTok because it's just holding it so no one else gets it. So yeah, primarily Instagram. If you want to reach out, ask me any sort of questions. I usually respond to everyone. It might take some time, but that's what it is.
Yeah, and he's got some cool content there. He's gone viral a couple times, has some funny content, some impressive content. So yeah, thank you so much for coming on, Sean. And that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening.